Thank you, Colin, and good morning, everyone. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you today. Just continuing that theme that Emma mentioned in her prayer there of the change that God has for us and wants us to see. Let's keep that in our minds as we come to this theme of remembering Jesus' power. I was reflecting on that theme as I was enduring my weekly torture, otherwise known as very good exercise, that is Edinburgh's park run, with my son, who is now fully 9 minutes faster than me, and therefore has to wait quite a long time at the end of the run. But even by the point of just before 1 kilometre, I can tell you, I was not feeling I had any physical resources of power in my body left at all. And if those of you have done the Edinburgh Park Run, you know that 1K is that cafe where they serve lovely scones, and there's always that temptation that says, I don't need to do this. I could just go in now and have a cappuccino and a lovely fruit scone. And then I was thinking of the message today and of Jesus' power. And the verse that came to me was this one from Isaiah 40. And it really encouraged me in my run. And it is this one. Even youths grow tired and weary. And I do not count myself as a youth. But youths grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall. I'm afraid I don't even fit into the young man category anymore. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. In that little verse, maybe there's something captured of the change that is available to all of us through the power of Jesus Christ today. Maybe some of you, like me, feel, not physically, but metaphorically, as though you're at that 1K point, gasping for air, struggling and not feeling at all strong. And I think as we tap into God's word, and as we take communion together, the invitation to us may be to connect into the only source of power and strength that will enable us to soar, to run, and to walk. Let's look at God's word. There are passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're reading verses 17 to 19. So do read on in your phone or using a Bible if you wish today. And it's a very, in some ways, it's for many of us who, for whom church is familiar, it will seem a very familiar passage. And it says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. I pray that God will speak to us through this reading today. Let's think first of all then about the key aspect of this passage here, this reference to the power of God. The message of the cross is foolishness to some, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So my starting point in thinking through this was to try and dig a little bit deeper into what the Bible means when it refers to the power of God. What do you have in your mind as you think of the power of God? Well, I understand that the word that is used here for power is the Greek word dynamis. And what does that sound like? Dynamis, maybe something dynamic, or it actually is the word from which we get dynamite. And in my mind, that made me start thinking about fireworks displays, many of which we're going to see perhaps later this month and at the start of next month. And I began to think, well, is the power of God, are we meant to have in our mind something like a mighty fireworks display, like you would see fairly regularly over the summer and at New Year over Edinburgh Castle? Is that what we're thinking about, the dynamis of God? And from a little bit of research, and some of you probably know an awful lot more about fireworks than I do, understand that, no, do you know what, actually, Even fireworks nowadays are probably not even going to contain dynamite. Dynamite is a stronger stuff than you're going to find in these fireworks. And if we can see the next picture, I think the image that we're probably, that's probably better to have in our minds as we think about the power of God is the sort of thing that dynamite can really do beyond a fireworks display. It's more like blasting right through rock. The power of God, the dynamis of God, something that can blast through rock. I wonder if my experience of the power of God, I wonder if your experience of the power of God comes anywhere close to this. As I was reflecting on fireworks and the possibility of that mighty display that you might see on Edinburgh Castle, I wondered if the power of God that I see in my life is sometimes a little more like the sort of little sparkler that you might see on a birthday cake. Or Clive was telling me about the fireworks displays in Northern Ireland of old, where because of restrictions, I guess, on them being outside, it could only be small and ones that were kept wholly indoors. Maybe some of you have experienced them. And let's just reflect this morning on this verse, the message of the cross, foolishness to some, but to us who are being saved, the dynamite of God. What's the message of the cross? Notice that the verse is really specific. There's not just, it's not just saying, you know, God wants to make his power known to us. It's saying quite specifically that the message of the cross to us who are being saved is the dynamite of God. And I struggled a bit just reading 1 Corinthians 1 to really understand what Paul was trying to say when he talked about the message of the cross. And as I looked through 1 Corinthians, and maybe you'll get there much quicker if you look through it yourself, I came to chapter 15 and I thought, oh, I've got it. He's really unpacked it there. And of course, he does so in so many others of his letters. But if you have a look at chapter 15 and verse 3, I think there he gives us most clearly what he's talking about when he's telling us about the message of the cross. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, I think we get it in just five simple words that all of us can understand. Five simple words that for many might seem to be so simple that it's seen as utter foolishness. But the five words are, Christ died for our sins. We saw it beautifully illustrated in that video that Colin showed to us earlier. Here it is, the message of the cross, the dynamite of God. Christ died for our sins. He is given all of our sin, and in return, we receive all of his righteousness. This is the dynamite of God. Now, at times in the Bible, those who are following Jesus are described as those who have been saved, past tense, event that happened in the past. Or sometimes those who are following Jesus are described as those who will be saved, something in the future. But in our core verse today in chapter 1, those who are following Jesus, who have embraced the message of the cross, are described as those who are being saved, present tense. And in the rest of the time that I have with you this morning, I'd love just to explore what the dynamite of God, what the message of the cross really means for all of us, past, future, and present. Let's think of the message of the cross. Let's think of the dynamite of God in terms of our past. I think the starting point is to look in our mind's eye at Jesus on that cross and see him cry out, "It is finished." What do those words capture for us? What do they mean for us this morning? I think we're invited to take those words, "It is finished," and recognize that there is absolutely nothing in our past that he cannot forgive, that he cannot deal with. All the failures, all the mistakes, all the regrets, the things done, the things not done. To stick to the image of the dynamite of God, I was imagining in my mind this week all of our past being like a huge mountain or just a hill of stuff. Maybe you see it in your own mind as like a hill of just rubbish that stands in the way of us and God. And the message of the cross comes in. The dynamite of the cross comes in and just blasts that stuff to pieces. So that all there is freedom to access God. There is freedom not to be held back by the stuff of our past, but rather through the dynamite of the cross, the way is clear for us to walk into the loving and forgiving arms of our Father God. I wonder how many of us, maybe despite how long we have been Christians for, need to be reminded of the power of God to deal with everything in our past. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians 1, talked about his own past. He described himself as the very worst of sinners. And let's face it, he could probably give most of us a bit of a run for our money. After all, he killed Christians, right? He was pretty much the terrorist of the day. Maybe, I think he believed, it was the case that God had blasted through all that stuff in his past and allowed him freedom to run into the loving arms of his Father so that none of us need ever think that the stuff in our past is too great or too insignificant, too great or too significant to ever allow us freedom to access our God and our Father. But the message of the cross not only deals with our past. The Bible also talks about the fact that we one day, those of us looking to the cross, trusting in Jesus, can have absolute confidence that through his power, one day we will be saved. Look at a passage like Romans 8 and delight again in the fact that absolutely nothing that lies between us and our final breath can get in the way of the power of God in our lives. Paul there emphasizes time and again that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he said elsewhere that he was convinced that the one who had begun a good work in us would carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I wonder if some of us look to the future and we are filled with fear and uncertainty. Maybe it's serious health issues for us today. Maybe it's what's going on in our family circle. Or maybe we look out and we despair and are genuinely feeling anxious and afraid about our political situation or global issues. Maybe today, as we prepare to take communion, we are encouraged to remember again the power of God, the dynamite of God, to deal with everything in the future. But let's come right down to today. I love this reference, and I think it's unique in this passage in 1 Corinthians 1 to being saved. I love this sense that today, this moment, look around you, you're looking at people who God is working in, and who even today, through the message of the cross, despite however weak we may feel, despite the hurdles that we may feel we can never get over, despite the fact that our own levels of power may feel just about the level of power in that birthday cake sparkler, we are people to whom today Jesus offers what he describes as incomparably great power. And as we continue our series in prayer in future weeks and delve deeper into the Bible, we'll see that Paul regularly was in prayer for other Christians What for? Often not for their sore toe. In fact, I don't think we get a single prayer for that. Not that it's a problem praying for that. But what he seemed to pray for time and again was that they would know the dynamite of God in their lives. Time and again, that they'll know the power of God. He prays that they'll know it in their heads, that they'll really believe that God's power is available. He prays that the power of God will bring comfort and peace into their hearts. He prays that the power of God will be seen in their actions, enabling them to live more like Jesus, enabling them to soar, to run, and to walk. And I'll not read it because we're pretty much out of time, but I encourage you in your own readings maybe to have a wee bit of a look at the first two or three chapters of Ephesians, where you will see many references to Paul's prayers for the power of God. And maybe we can be in prayer for that for ourselves and for those around us. Do we know the dynamite of God at work through Jesus Christ today? I'm going to leave you with perhaps a simple suggestion for a wee illustration that you might bear in mind this week. At the end of each day, maybe have a look at your phone. Well, you're probably having a look at your phone already at the end of each day. I guess that's what many of us do. Have a look at what is there in terms of that power battery. Mine is already down. It was 100% this morning. It's already down to 87%. And thanks to good old Apple, I suspect it will be pretty much zero by the end of the day. Or maybe by about 6 o'clock in the evening. You're all familiar with that symbol, aren't you? But maybe this week, as you look at that power level, I'd encourage you just to have a think about what's going on in terms of less the power in your mobile phone and more the power of God in our lives. Maybe we can plug back in to that power source that is the message of the cross and experience a bit more of the dynamite of God dealing with our past, taking care of our future, and giving us strength in the present. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we simply thank you that we can look to the cross. Help us as we linger there now in our thoughts and in our heart to experience something more of your power, the power of the cross.